Okay, we're good to go.
All right, it is 5:15, and I am going to call the Finance Committee meeting for Thursday, February 6th to order. Let's just go around the room and say who's here. Audrey Nelson.
Vicki Davis.
Andrew Plowman.
Rick Baggerly.
Steve Okins.
All right, thank you very much. First item is public comment, and there is no one here for public comment. And we are going to move on to our action items. And the first action item is the fourth quarter donation acceptance. And Steve and I just reviewed the total that's on that sheet is $12,932.56. Steve.
Madam Chair, as state statute, and this was a policy change to comply with that, the city has to accept all donations by resolution. And the council had set doing that rather than each time we get a donation, do it quarterly. And so the city administrator's office has compiled a list of donations. As you see there, the explanation follows who donated the dollars. And we are restricted to use those dollars for those purposes. Most of it is for summer movies in the park this coming summer. And so those dollars are sitting there and will be used as they have movies in the park. A couple of other ones that are listed there you'll see are park bench donation, some fire department donations to the fire department, artists in the Main Street projects of $5,000. So this is the list for the fourth quarter of 2019. The council action I see there was actually taken in March of 16, so it's been a few years that we recognize all donations quarterly, and we bring it to the Finance Committee for a resolution to accept these donations. And so we would look for a motion to adopt a resolution accepting these donations for a total of $12,932.56.
Move to approve.
Second. All right. We have a motion and a second to approve to adopt a resolution to formally approve donations from October 1st through December 31st in the total of $12,932.56. All those in favor? Whoops. Discussion. Questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next item is fund balance policy resolution.
Madam Chair, this has been in the committee for a couple times for review. There's basically one change or revision to the policy, and we've talked about that. It's to insert a section in reference to the city charter, Article 3, dealing with the Community Investment Fund. Since the restrictions for the Community Investment Fund are somewhat lengthy, we are referencing only in the policy the section that's dealing with it. Some of the items that are not in the policy or in the committee action form, there's areas that talk about the purpose of the fund, the limitations on what the expenditures can be used for, and funding procedures and priorities. So I'm certainly willing to answer or explain some of those sections. But again, we put it into the policy by reference because any changes to this section would need a charter change. And so it's a lot more restrictive. But the three priorities that the fund balance can be used for, and I know there's been some discussion about looking at fund balances, are that the first priority of using any of the fund balance from the Community Investment Fund would be that the amount has to be funded from available investment earnings. Now, we do use these funds for the 10-year street program. And the second priority would be from principal funds, which have the capacity to repay the principal amount borrowed, if they have to go the principal amount. And the third priority would be projects using expenditures from principal funds which have no other reasonable funding source or non-revenue producing requires significant funding and provide otherwise unattainable community benefit. So there's, and any use of principal requires 7 votes by the council, 7 out of the 8. And so the use of that is pretty restrictive, and as we talked about at our last meeting, if the council would choose to change the charter and use this for other purposes, it would have an effect on the funds that are available to pay for the 10-year street debt service. And the process we use for that now is that the bonds that are sold for street improvements are paid by a portion of special assessments. The difference that is not covered by special assessment comes from earnings of this fund. And that there is a tax levy certified after each bond issue. And every year this fund is reviewed to see if there's enough earnings to make the debt service payments, and those levies are decertified. Since this fund has been established in 1990, the city has not levied anything for debt service on their street programs. This fund, along with the Public Works Reserve, which is the $4 that we are going to be talking about in the future, have covered the debt service costs that aren't covered by assessments. So this fund, but for tonight, we are only putting into this policy reference to the charter requirement.
All right. We are looking for a motion to introduce a resolution revising the City of Willmar Fund Balance Policy to include reference to City Charter Section 3 in regards to the Community Investment Fund.
So moved.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. I would just have a request. Steve shared with me that he won't be at the next City Council meeting, that he's not available that night, that our minutes reflect that summary you just so nicely
include the summary of the charter section. We will do that.
Just the high points there.
Mm-hmm. And I will have conversations with Brian before the meeting, so he'll be able to answer any questions that other council members may have.
Is that
so charter commission doesn't have to do anything?
That's that's why we took the avenue that we did and just referenced it, so that if the charter commission would ever look at this section and make a change, you would not have to go back to the policy document and change it, because it would automatically comply with the charter.
All right. Is everyone okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
Any further discussion? Questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Next item, our preliminary budgets for Invest in Willmar projects. Go ahead, Steve.
Again, included in your packet, Madam Chair, this is the next step in the process for the Invest in Willmar, the local option sales tax projects. As part of the process for finance to set up accounts to start charging costs incurred, and those being primarily the architects and the construction manager agreements that the council has approved, we are proposing four different preliminary budgets, one for each one of the projects. We are setting the level of the projects based on what was approved in the state legislature, in the state law, and the council had adopted in their ordinances. The first one that I have there is dealing with the recreational fields for a total of $6 million. And each one of these budgets, as we work through it, and again, these are preliminary in nature, and we'll have to come back to the committee as they get into the bidding process and finalization. And the dollar amounts that are proposed here are only for those statute requirements. So if there is additional funding at a later point, again, it will have to come back to this committee and discussion about changing it. So, but the method that has been used is to take 10% of the total and have that as a contingency amount, and that you'll see under line 49, other charges, and estimating 15% for professional services. So you've got 25% initially for soft costs, leaving 75% for actual construction costs. Remembering that the contingency, as they get into the bidding process, can be moved up into the actual construction costs.
At what point? Not initially.
No, development and design. I think the discussion will happen at that point when they start choosing which items and comparing it to the available dollars.
Okay.
And so that will have to be discussed at that point. Do we lower the contingency? And that will come from recommendations from the construction manager.
So if they see we're flush with contingency funds.
Yeah, and then what level do they feel comfortable in leaving in a contingency to handle items that come up during construction? That may be 5%, that may be 2%, that's totally going to be driven by the construction manager.
So it's basically just a firewall measure to leave a larger amount for contingency and then potentially...
That was the amount that was agreed upon in the...
In the original.
The 10%, again, is a statutory requirement, too, that has... The council can move 10% within the items listed in the statute. There was a clause in there that talks about that. And so that 10%, so it related to the statute, was used for a contingency initially. It's probably a little high until they get into the bidding process.
That actually followed the whole process of a commitment of that 10%.
Yes.
Then if I may, secondarily, okay, so if we have some of our contracts back for soft cost professional services and they are a percentage, if that percentage is less than our earmarked percentage, how does that shake out?
That will come back to the committee as well once we get signed contracts. We're waiting for signed contracts, and that will be moved into into the available dollars for construction. Okay. Now we will have bonding costs, architectural fees, and construction manager fees. And we had discussions today with the construction managers as far as their bid is dealing with three projects, and we've discussed this in the committee before, is how does that get allocated? And so they're aware that we'll have to have those discussions. And again, those will all come back to the committee as we get into the next phases of as-bid budgets. And so, that'll...
Yeah.
This primarily action tonight is so that finance can set up the accounts and give the coding structure to the departments who are handling, authorizing the invoices for the architects and...
Begin moving it.
Yeah, and there may be some soil borings or other items that need to be done in order for the design to move forward.
All right.
Publications, those types of things. So each one of the budgets that we have here have that same philosophy where 10% is for the contingency, 15% for engineering or professional services, and 75% in hard costs. And again, they're only preliminary in nature and they all tie to the state statute. So the first one, again, is dealing with the recreational fields, and that was $6 million.
All right, looking for a motion for that resolution for the Wilmer Project recreational fields.
I'll move to approve.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second to adopt a resolution to order or enter preliminary budget for Invest in Wilmer Projects for recreation field regarding $6 million. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Next one, we're going to look for a motion to adopt a resolution for the Recreation Event Center, Civic Center location.
So moved.
That one is $10
million. Second.
All right. We have a motion and a second to adopt that preliminary one for $10 million. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Next one is Robbins Island, and that one is $2
million. $3
million. Three.
Oh, flip the page. Sorry. $3 million.
Come on.
Thanks.
All right. Any further discussion on the $3 million one for Robbins Island? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And the last one is for Swanson Fields. That one is $2 million.
Mm-hmm. So moved.
Second.
All right. We have a motion and a second to adopt that resolution for Swanson Fields for $2 million. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. That takes care of our action items.
Quick question?
Yes.
Before we go away from those, what are we missing? Stormwater?
Stormwater and... Pardon me?
Community Center.
Community Center.
Stormwater, we're holding pattern for now?
We have... the council has approved the east side. And that's the only portion of stormwater. Nothing has come out of engineering as far as, or the committee as far as projects.
So we're not necessarily needing to find a home for money.
No, and it's in-house. It's not, we do not have consultants for that. And so as those projects come forth, we will be bringing those to the committee, is what the discussion has been on that.
So it's fine just as it is until it comes up?
Yeah, and we are, the reason that we will be bringing also the bonding that we preliminary talked about at the last meeting is that the cash flow should be able to cover the soft costs until we get to the design and the things start being firmed up a little more. So the bonding will come once that phase starts, and then we will come back and do some adjusting on the budgets to show that what we've been able to cover with cash that has been collected. And we've gotten October's been reconciled, November and December, the Department of Revenue has given the city the preliminary estimates, and so those are yet to be reconciled, and we'll be having a report with our year end on how that all relates. Okay. The council has already authorized the intent to reimburse for financing for bonds for the full $30 million. We did that so that we didn't have to come back each time to do this for the intent to reimburse. We still have to come back and hold the public hearings and the notifications on project-specific financing if and when we have the timelines. If we can pay some of the stuff with cash that we're collecting,
like storm, if we can do the stormwater cash,
yep,
the
yep.
entire way through, then we can avoid that.
That's the intent mm-hmm. to do that. Even though interest rates are fairly low, and we'll maybe talk a little bit about that in the next report, but those are discussions that we are planning. And have had conversations with the bond people already, and we'll be bringing it back to the committee in the next month or so.
And finally, sorry, I don't want to beat this one to death, but have you had talks with Sean regarding that specifically and how that may tie into road projects this year?
The stormwater?
Yeah.
I believe he is planning some of those. I think there was a preliminary list, mm-hmm. and that would also tie into the capital improvement that was approved.
Because we were hoping, the thought was, and it's safe to say, because it was an idea that was kicked around, but there were some projects that would overlap with yeah. the road and the stormwater, yes. so we were hoping that a few of those could get kicked onto the list and then maybe take a look at yeah. additional funding sources.
And that would come to the committee, both Public Works Safety, when they approved what projects are done, mm-hmm. and Finance, when we approve the preliminary budgets and the final budgets, as-bid budgets for the street program. Because I know that the improvement hearing number was larger than what was in the capital improvement program. And I think that's the reason why there was more in the improvement is for some of that stormwater work.
Does that make sense, Andrew?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. You're good with that?
Yep, I just wanted to make absolutely sure that what we were thinking and hoping yep. is what
yes.
took place.
Mm-hmm.
So have you heard or seen any numbers yet for the last 3 months on the tax?
Yes, we have.
Is it good or bad?
We're watching it and working with the Department of Revenue. They're not at the levels where we had thought, but they're working through some things as far as startup and those types of things that are transpiring now. The estimate that they gave us for the December amount is like 186,000 versus I think it was 114 that they gave us preliminary for October.
There's a seasonal nature to some of it too.
There right? is, and August surprisingly is in monitoring the county's half-cent sales tax. August is the busiest and most collections. We're trying to
vacations. People are here.
Yeah. Tourism.
Yeah, and so
fishing,
and we are looking summer. At it compared to I think 2012 was the last year we collected the last one, so we have that information, and we can bring a report with part of the year end is what we're planning to do to the Finance Committee as far as where we're at and what the Department of Revenue has told us as far as.
So when did we start collecting?
October 1st. Yeah,
so Steve is working on that and we'll bring it back, but I think just from the conversation that I had with Steve, I think for us to remember that that's how we're paying for our bonds and kind of with yeah. that, and so that may have an effect on you know, looking at the total thing or how quickly we do some things. So
and
Well, I mean, we need to wait it out and make sure that the figures are accurate.
Right. Like I said, we've only had one full month of actual collections, and that was the very first month in conversations with them. And if you look at the counties, the same thing happened to them in their first month of collection. It was lower than where it ended up being. And so we didn't want to bring something preliminarily to you before we had,
It's got to get up and running.
Yeah.
Smooth. Collect
it. And we're working with the Department of Revenue. We worked with them in our previous one. It's the same person, and so they're checking into some various things. It's like with the change that we brought to you Monday night as far as the excise tax. That will help get everything in one place at the Department of Revenue. And we've notified the car dealers and everything. That
reciprocity, I suppose, for internet transactions.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, those three changes that we made on Monday night. The third one was to comply again like we did the fund balance policy. If the state statute changes, we will automatically comply with that.
Well, more and more places, and I kind of thought, well, I don't know if that makes that big of a difference, but then I actually went back in our own department of our own company, mm-hmm. and I saw, we set up a portal for people to make online, for vendors to make online payments. Well, that matters. And so I checked with our guy, got to take sales tax from state users that aren't using it for resale. So things like that go into it too, and that could have easily slipped on through if we didn't catch the internet sales.
Before we move on to any other questions, are you good with anything else with local option sales?
And I should actually go, so I'm not.
Okay. Late. I was just wondering if you had any questions on the last three items or you're good to go.
I looked at them earlier and jotted
if you do.
Notes down. The notes were primarily the beginning stuff.
The two things, Andrew, quickly before you go, is the activity that you experienced in December with all the calls and everything. We mentioned that in the committee before.
Yes.
And then the last thing that I wanted to bring up is if you look at the market value changes, that was a requirement starting in we had, if you look at the 1 year, we had $3.6 million decrease in market value, and the next year we had 2.5. Those are all paper entries that we've talked about in the past. That was a requirement under GASB, Governmental Accounting Standards Board. Overall, the period, it was only an $80,000 change in those millions of dollars worth of investments.
So you kind of...
It's all paper entries, and we've talked about that before, that the city's intent is not to sell any investments until maturity, so we're always going to get the par value.
Yeah.
And that this helps solidify that, because average of $7,000 decrease over a 10-year period per year is, 11 years.
It's, and our consultant, again, their name?
On the investments, we're working with Bremer Wealth a little bit now, but that's a lot of that is all done internally.
Or how about when they do our audit?
Westberg Ations does the city's audit.
Okay, and their position, their main concern isn't necessarily returns as what it is, stability, correct?
Yeah, and the intent and the investment policy of not cashing anything in and doing the cash flows correctly so you don't have to cash anything in.
So, buy and hold.
Those are the two main things that I just wanted to point out on the investment. Otherwise this is something that we will provide quarterly, and it's just a lot of activity happening due to the calls and those types of things why we're kind of using Bremer as well to help with some of that activity.
And I had one other question, but I think it's a longer question, so I'll probably shoot you an email.
Sure.
About that.
Okay.
But it's not related to this stuff. Sorry, I have
Thank
to run
you.
So early.
Thanks mm-hmm. for being here, Andrew.
Yeah, have a good night, everybody.
All right, yep. Steve, let's go back. So is there anything else you want to walk through on that investment report?
You'll see that the year-to-date in 19, we did have, even though with the decline in interest rates, we had slightly more year-to-date on our interest income. You'll see there that, as I mentioned, we're working with Bremer Wealth Management, which is kind of a subgroup of Bremer Bank. Mm-hmm. And that's why you'll see activity there in 19 and not 18.
Any questions, Vicki?
Really? I mean, I talked about the December activity. There's a lot of stuff going on, being called and that. There's a list of all of our, and we've laddered that in so that It fits into our cash flow, so we don't have to cash in any investments. All these step-ups that you see here that are like a range of interest rates, those are the ones getting called, because to reinvest now, anything 5 years or less, you're at 150. And so all these are at 2, so they're calling them all and making you reinvest.
Okay.
So.
Keeping you busy.
Yeah, yeah. But, and that's just the history. I mean, if there's any questions on any of the reports, I mean, it's more than happy to answer them on as far as the investments go.
Okay, so you've walked through an investment activity, and that's what you were talking about with, and the market values, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, like I said, the market values again was a governmental standard accounting thing where they were saying that, example being the year where if the city would have had to cash in, it used to be where it looked like you had this much because this is what the par value was. But if you were to sell them on the open market, it really would have been that much less.
Yeah.
But it's a.
So we're lucky that we haven't had to do those things.
Never had to, and so that just gives you kind of a running. It's up and down, and market values actually are up in 19.
Okay. All right. Any other questions on any of that investment for tonight? All right. Do you want to move on to the preliminary municipal utilities information?
Again, this is to give it to you for review tonight. We will be inviting John and Denise from the utilities to come to answer any questions. But I handwritten in there, if you look at the budget column and compare it to the actual year-to-date amount, they had projected a 13% profit for all funds. That's electrical, water, and steam heat. They actually incurred a 21% profit margin. Hmm. So
this is preliminary, so when is theirs final?
Whenever their audit is done, and I'm not sure. That's usually near the end of February.
It's before ours, right?
Yeah, yeah. And we can't finish ours until we get theirs.
Okay. So yeah. we'll ask them to come after theirs is final?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This is just kind of preliminary. Again, if you look at each division, the electrical was budgeting 12% profit, they had 19. And the water, they had projected 31 and they got 41% profit margin on sales. And the heating division, that there was gonna be a loss and they actually had a gain. So.
Yeah.
So again, they'll come
after
they have their audit done as well.
All right, well it's nice.
Water increase.
On the water part, and increased. It had something to do with it, I guess. Yeah.
But that didn't go into effect until
October. When was that? I don't remember when that was.
That'll be no, but that's a kind of a question to ask because their expenses are going to change from what we're requiring them to do next year, also. So it'll be interesting to hear what they have to say about how they're going to. I'm agreeing with you on that one.
And I think this is in the industry where they will pay for a lot of capital improvements after building up funds in reserves. If you look at, and when they bring their financial, we'll also have a list of their reserves, like what they've got set aside for the building and what they've got set aside for water main replacement and those types of things. So,
Well, the good
these
news
are pre-audit.
Is it's better than maybe.
And the investment policy, we'll have a. Janelle didn't like this format, so she'll have a reformatted when we bring it back to you. she didn't like the column format, so we're still working with Bremer Wealth to come up with some additions and some changes on that. So.
And the audit last year or 2 years ago had asked us to review the investment policy from the percentages, correct? Of how we were investing in long-term, short-term.
Yes, yeah. that was an audit finding, and that was primarily, again, due to 2016, right before the former city clerk left, and that was all those step-ups, the 2 to 8.5 were long-term.
Yeah.
And they are being called. So that's taking the percentage that's out there in long-term and moving it and evening it out to, and it's helping the audit finding.
But policy-wise in those things, we dealt with that, and so we're on track with, that's not a, not an issue for us any longer, other than it's taking time to get to what we said we would do.
And that will satisfy that audit finding by, it did by the end of 19, so. But that,
that's what I was, there, thank you.
Yeah, that audit finding will be satisfied because of the calling and the investments that are becoming more short-term, and the total percentage that's out there over 6 years is a lot less.
Okay, and so you're not done reviewing this policy with Bremer, and then you'll be bringing it back for if we need to do an update.
Yes.
What the update is.
Yep.
Okay, so this is strictly just a work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
All right, any questions on that?
So the Bremer, is that here or is it Marshall?
This is here.
Here?
Yeah, this is Jeff Schultz actually is our contact at Bremer Wealth here. And he actually, that when Rice Trust and was out of Marshall, that has now been, is out of this office. Yeah. There for many years, the Rice Trust account was, the trustees were out of Marshall. And now they are out of the Wilmer branch.
It was the alphabet lady. I remember what her.
Vandendrieschi?
It was really long.
Vandendrieschi or something like that, yeah.
Since you brought up the Rice Trust, I know there was an email earlier questioning foundation things, and I've reached out to both Brian and to Mike Schramm at that, what was in the minutes. There was a very nice presentation made by the foundation to the Rice Hospital Board. They are very much in tune to all the requirements and the money, where the money is staying, et cetera, and so we will be getting additional information in one format or another. I felt I had talked to him after the meeting in December about doing that presentation for, so because it was so positive with the amount of money that's been raised to do the projects, you know, over the years. They've been working on emergency room. There's money sitting for the cancer center there. This year's foundation is for enhancing heart, having someone here more days a week and changing how they work with that. And so I think it's important, especially since the question's been asked now, that we have an understanding of how that's, you know, that work. They legally, they can't. I mean, the foundations require those things. But the Rice Trust sits differently than the Rice Foundation also. But they're very much in tune to that, and so you can look for information coming in. I think they're also planning to do talking about doing some community kind of updates too, with, you know, what's happening, what things that are there, because there are some questions out there and some questions about doctors and some different kinds of things. And so that's just a, from a finance standpoint, we will be seeing more information on that. So,
and that will be one of the items that we do right now. Is it's our responsibility to monitor the debt service, and we handle the debt service reserve for the debt, and so that's part of our pre-audit and auditing to make sure they're compliant with that and the $32 million commitment back into the hospital as part of the lease.
But that old Rice Trust has some really interesting twists and turns in it versus how, I mean, the foundation is set up, that's a separate entity.
Rice Trust is basically governed more so by the court system.
Yes, by the court system. Mm-hmm. So, and I forget who is.
$3 million or something in there?
I think it was $3.5 million. Yeah, a little higher than that with the market, what it's done.
And it's used for indigent care. Mm-hmm. You know, with that. So, and there are, I read that document a long time ago when I was on the hospital board, and you know, that is about the Rice family. It's about having the pictures up inside the hospital. It's about, you don't do this, and it, you know, kind of those kinds of things. But that trust is so old, and it would need to go back to, for anything to change on it. Even if how they wanted to use it, it would have to go back to the court system to be reviewed. So, yeah. So, but, you know, Foundation is alive and well, and they are out doing presentations to existing donors and donors that they're trying to recruit with things that, you know, what they're working on and some information about that. So, but I saw it as very positive, what we heard, so. And I think we need to hear that, so. Okay. Any questions? Any other items, Steve?
I have nothing else.
Rick?
Nothing.
Vicki?
Nope.
All right. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All right. We did it.